CD 3.
Chapter 3. Hating is Belonging. The Ex-White Supremacist. The essential dilemma of my life is between my deep desire to belong and my suspicion of belonging. Jhumpa Lahiri. We are born to belong. A deep sense of love and belonging is an irreducible need of all people, writes empathy researcher Brené Brown. When those needs are not met, we don't function as we're meant to. We break, we fall apart, we numb, we ache, and, adds Brown, we hurt others. The problem starts when our desire to belong leads us to identify so strongly with a particular social group that we become fierce in our belonging to the point of engaging in, or at least condoning, harmful otherizing. This capacity to otherize lies deep within us, bred into us through the long course of human evolution. As evolutionary biologist E.O. Wilson writes, the tendency to form groups and then to favor in-group members has the earmarks of instinct. Otherizing contains within it the potential for cruelty, because establishing some group as different all too readily becomes a justification for conceiving of that group as less than us in some way, less intelligent, less patriotic, less hardworking, less victimized. And that opens the door to everything from aversion to dehumanization to downright brutality. Our bloody nature is ingrained, writes Wilson, because group versus group was a principal driving force that made us what we are. Anthropologist Michael Giglieri notes that in human history, not only have wars shaped the geopolitical boundaries and spread national ideologies, but they have also carved the distributions of humanity's religions, cultures, diseases, technologies, and even genetic populations. But according to Giglieri, war vies with one other thing for the most significant process in human evolution: sex. In other words, it's not just our breaking apart that has defined human history, but also our literal coming together. Both are possible, neither is predestined. In fact, while our tendency to create groupings may be natural, how we create those groupings is not. It is a product of that history, plus our cultures and habits, that shapes how we view ourselves and others, largely at an unconscious level. For instance, for much of U.S. history, Irish and Italian and Jewish immigrants weren't seen as white. Now they are. As biologist Robert Sapolsky, the author of several books on human behavior, writes, humans may be hardwired to get edgy around the other, but our views on who falls into that category are decidedly malleable, which means hate is malleable too. How does that work? How do we come to define certain categories of people and assign them to our in-group or our out-group? And what makes some people not as inclined to do that? If stereotypes and prejudice and other sorts of out-group classifications are baked into our society, how do they affect some of us more than others? And how do some people come to resist them or even reject them outright? These were the questions that led me to Milwaukee to meet Arno Michaelis. Arno was